Okay, let's start. Good morning and welcome to Grenergy's first half 2025 results presentation. I am Rubén Gómez, Head of Investor Relations. The presentation is going to be led by David Ruiz, our Chairman and CEO, Daniel Lozano, our Chief of Strategy and Capital Markets Officer, and Rocío Fernández, Head of Sustainability. They are going to take you through our business, financial, and sustainability review. At the end of the presentation, as it is usual, there will be a Q&A session for sell-side analysts. Please remind you to ask just one question per participant. Okay, please, David, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Rubén, and good morning, everyone. Let's start, as always, with the business highlights on slide number three, with the main highlights of our first half 2025 results. First of all, it's very important to remark that we keep turning, as we say here, rotation into value. We are very glad to see that there is a lot of appetite for our hybrid assets in Oasis de Atacama. We are bringing to the table big names like Contour Global, a KKR company, more recently DIF, which is part of CVC. Early September, we announced the rotation of Gabriela. This is phase four of Oasis de Atacama. As you know, we sold altogether 272 MW of solar and 1.1 GWh of BESS to DIF, and for an enterprise value, including earnouts, of close to $475 million US. The multiple of the transaction was 1.8x invested capital, and the asset will be delivered in the first half of 2026. Hopefully, we believe it will be operational as early as Q1, and we will achieve COD in Q2 next year. The plan is performing well, the construction is performing really well, and we are very close to mechanical completion already. With this operation, as you know, we would have sold phases one to four of Oasis de Atacama for an enterprise value close to $1.4 billion, which, as we have stated, represents close to 33%-34% of the total of the project size. Let me highlight once again that we are selling 100% interest in the projects, not a participation in all the projects. If we consider the projects we have rotated, they account for just 33% of the total amount of megawatts in the project. With this transaction, and that's one of our main KPIs, we have achieved 55% of the target of asset rotation proceeds. Remember, we were talking about 800 million euros, as we outlined in the Capital Markets Day three months ago. It's a very important KPI for us. I would say that together with our CapEx target, those are the most important KPIs we keep in mind now. It's very relevant for us that we are achieving more than 55% already 2.5 years ahead of the target. We also, and this is a very important milestone, we recently announced 2 weeks ago, we closed the financing for 3.5 GWh of BESS. This is the largest BESS plant we've made so far in one single location, and it's phase six of Oasis de Atacama, what we call Elena. We raised $270 million US from a syndicate of four banks. We are, as you know, we'll explain to you later, but we are expecting this plant to be operational in the first quarter of next year, which is at least two quarters earlier than initially expected. We are, and I think that's very important for us. You know, we introduced Greenbox in our Capital Markets Day. We are advancing very well. It's maybe the most exciting project we have ahead. As you know, it's going to be divided in six countries, and it's our standalone division for Europe. And as you know, we are developing one of the biggest pipelines, standalone pipelines in Europe, currently with 32 gigawatt hours. And we are advancing. You will see many of these projects, as I will explain now, in early stage, but BESS projects move faster than PV projects normally. So you will, in the next update, you will see that some of these projects already moved to advanced development. And as you know, we have our flagship project in Spain, which is Oviedo, with a capacity of 150 megawatts. And we are aiming to install 4 hours. So altogether will be 600 megawatt hours. And we expect to announce very soon a tolling agreement. And also we will announce the which banks we are mandating for this project. Regarding our financial highlights, and Daniel will give you a lot more information, right? I think we've got pretty good set of results. It's impacted very positively by the M&A deals of Oasis of Atacama. In the first half of the year, revenues grew by 128% year on year. EBITDA reached 86 million euros, and out of these, 76 million came from the M&A deal. And net income reached 35 million euros. Gross capex reached 421. That's very, very important KPI for us. It's nearly 127% higher than the same period last year. We are close to half a billion in one semester, right? So that gives you the idea that we are really reaching the cruise speed we are really targeting, like minimum 1 billion of new capex per year. If you remember, our target was 3.5 billion for the next 3 years, including 2025. So I think we are nearly there, and I guess that we will accelerate in the second semester. Going to the next step, it's 815 in line with increase of net capex in the quarter, and what we expected. The total leverage is 3.8 times versus 6.6 in the same period last year, and the corporate leverage was down to 1.3 times EBITDA. And lastly, there was a redemption of 2.44% of share capital after the last share buyback we executed during the first part of this year. And just to finish with this slide on ESG, I think Rocío will later explain in more detail. We are very proud to mention that we published our biodiversity policy. We achieved an A- in CDP 2024 supply engagement assessment, and we enter the IBEX ESG index, which I think is great news. We are top ranked in our industry in most of the most relevant ESG ratings, such as Standard & Poor's, MSCI, and Sustainalytics, as you know. Moving to the slide number 4, this is we display our platform overview for solar, hybrid, and then in the next slide, standalone projects. What we unveiled in the last Capital Markets Day. And before diving into details, I'd like to start by sharing some context. You know, we have conducted a very in-depth review of our entire pipeline, and this has led to some adjustments. As you know, we really want to optimize our investment allocation, and I think it's very essential that we focus on these projects where we really believe we have high chances of success, right? And we have a high degree of confidence. We want to focus in developing projects which can achieve really rate to build in the next two to three years with good returns and real opportunities for securing PPAs, right? And in parallel, we are relocating some resources, moving some development resources from purely solar PV to more hybrid and standalone storage projects where we are definitely making higher returns at the moment, right? In September 2025, our platform is 12.5 gigawatts of solar and 72 gigawatt hours of BESS. I think that's a very important figure, of which 35 gigawatt hours relate to hybrid projects, 40 gigawatt hours for a standalone. Let me remark that that's a very impressive pipeline for BESS in total of more than 70 gigawatts. On the right-hand side of the slide, you can see our three main geographies. You can see LATAM, where Chile is a very high percentage, is the one that needs the power of solar and hybrid plants. And Europe is leading the standalone with our Greenbox platform. Moving on slide number five, I don't want to stop here very long. We are very transparent. We update the details by geography and by country. And as you can see here, we keep advancing in our hybrid projects in Chile with Atacama and Central Oasis, and in Spain with Escuderos. We really keep being very optimistic on Chile. We see very strong appetite from off-takers to contract energy. And I think there's room for further development, and there are fantastic money opportunities, as we showed with the project we purchased from Risol and Ibereolica last year. And the market seems really, really good. I believe that Chile is starting a very, very good cycle with strong investment in new mining projects and a very promising data center industry booming in the country, and they need plenty of energy, right? So we see that the growth in energy consumption in the country is very, very promising. Moving to slide number six, just very quick update. Well, and this is the pipeline I was announcing. You can see the 600 a gigawatt hour, right? That belongs to Oviedo project. And then we have the rest, close to 40 gigawatts, and they're advancing in the six geographies in Europe, mainly where we are, right? And as I anticipated, I think when we update the pipeline in November, you will see that some of these projects are already moved to advanced development. And I think we're bearing a very consistent business plan for between 2026 and 2028. In standalone in our Greenbox platform. On slide number seven, we like to show the main data and planning of the total oasis of Atacama. You know, it's a total capacity of 2,000 megawatts to gigawatts and 11 gigawatt hours. Remember, When we first announced this project in the first Capital Markets Day we made nearly two years ago, it had initially a capacity of just 1 gigawatt and 4 gigawatt hours. And currently the platform doubled the size of 2 gigawatts of solar and tripled the size of storage to close to 11 gigawatt hours. And we are performing and executing very well. You know, we've rotated phases 1 to 4 of the project, and Quillagua 1 and 2, the first two phases, are connected in operation, and both platforms are performing very well, and Víctor Jara is really well on track. All the batteries are already installed, and we expect the interconnection very, very soon, and COD before the end of the year. And Gabriela is advancing also above expectations. All the batteries in this case from CATL are already at the site, and we expect the connection in the first quarter of 2026. We're very happy. We are executing and arriving and reaching COD of this very large asset above initial expectations, right? If you compare to PMGDs, the type of projects that we were mainly doing before, we are executing earlier. Everything is on us. The problem we had before with the small distribution assets is that we have to rely on distribution companies for interconnection. But in case of large projects, everything's on us. So we are performing really well. We are delivering ahead of estimated dates, at least in the first four phases. Regarding Elena, phase six, we'll deploy it in two stages, right? It's a plan that had an interconnection already built and substation interconnection line. There were 77 megawatts of solar ready in operation, and we are performing initially the capacity for batteries for 3 gigawatt hours in order to improve the time to market. And that's, I think, very important, and that's why we have signed this financing for $270 million. Let's call it bridge to PPA. We have like a 3-year financing. We are working very intensively on the PPAs. The moment we sign the final PPAs, I think during this year, we will approach the refinance of this project, and we will build the PV, the pending PV part, right? So that's the plan, and I think it's the right strategy for this large asset. Phase number five, Algarrobal, we are advancing on the PPAs. I think we might announce them very soon. We believe it will be a basket of 2-3 PPAs. And I think definitely before the end of the year, we will announce the PPAs for this plant, and we are mandating the project finance. So only phase seven will remain not mandated at the end of this year. Moving to slide number eight, we saw main achievements. I think you're very familiar with most of them, so I don't want to spend a lot of time. But again, as I mentioned, Quillagua 1 and 2 are connected. They're selling energy. Nice. We sold Gabriela. We closed the financing for phase 6. We are advancing of PPAs for phases 5 and 6. We are very soon mandating financing for phase 5. So everything is running pretty well. Slide number nine. And we are very proud of these. We have already raised $1.2 billion in project financing with 12 top international banks. I think the big names are there. The latest news was incorporation in the syndicate of more banks for Gabriela for phase four. Those include the Rabobank, ICO, Bank of America, BBVA, JP Morgan, KfW. So I think we're very proud of what we are achieving and we are bringing most international banks active in project finance are already in Oasis of Atacama. And there is a very high interest from most of these lenders to work with Greenergy in new projects. So I think it's very good news. Slide number 10, we included, I think was relevant, it's a new slide. And we include more details of the asset rotations we have accomplished for phases 1 to 4, bringing an enterprise value of $1.4 billion. And altogether, they implied 723 megawatts of solar and 3.6 gigawatt hours of BESS, right? The latest sale implied a ratio of 1.8. Enterprise value with invested capital, and Quillagua we achieved 1.5, Victor Jara 1.7. This is way higher than our guidance of 1.3 we gave for the Capital Markets Day, which we believe it was conservative. It was good, but it was conservative, so we are proving that we are getting way higher ratios. Just a quick review on Central Oasis. It's like a new. It's not new, but it's the platform we outlined in the Capital Markets Day. The size is similar to the size that had initially Oasis of Atacama at the beginning. We are looking at M&A opportunities to make it even bigger. There is a very high demand of energy in Central Chile, and we believe it has to be approached with projects in the center, right? So. We show here the main data, and most of the platform is already contracted. And I think the next mandate after Elena, it's already ongoing, and it's Gran Teno, Tamango, where we are hybridating these plants, plus Planchón, which is the next door plant to Gran Teno. And the next mandate right after will be Algarrobal in Sufa Atacama and Monte Águila phase four here, right? So it's an ongoing process, as you can see. And again, we are raising, there's a lot of appetite from lenders, and these projects are already contracted. So it's going very well. Just wrapping up, well, again, I don't want to stop here a lot, but we've covered all the points, but the main achievements of Oasis of Atacama. And the next slide, and to conclude, just we display our first flagship green box project in Oviedo. It's a region in the north of Spain, for all those that are not familiar, and it has a capacity of 150 megawatts and 600 megawatt hour. It will be, we believe, the first large standalone project in Spain. And again, we are expecting to announce the tolling agreement very soon, and we are about to mandate with a syndicate of banks. There's a very high interest in financing this first large project in Spain. So I think we will be once again pioneers in signing a tolling agreement for standalone batteries in a country like Spain. And regarding construction, we are expecting to start construction as early as Q1 next year. We are already securing some of the main components and trafos. This is something we do very often, that before the official NTP, we already secure some of the longest delivery materials, right? So thank you very much. I turn the call to Daniel for the financial review. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Now let's take a look at the company's operational performance for H1 2025. The decrease in total installed capacity was 4% from 950 megawatts to 914 megawatts, explained by the assets that were rotated in Chile. Okay. Then regarding production, we experienced a 36% increase in total output. This increase was mainly driven by Gran Teno, Elena, 77 megawatts, and to a lesser extent to PMGDs and Tamango. Contracted volumes increased by 62% and represented 87% of our total electricity production. So we have a conservative business model approach by closing PPAs for most of our production. Realized prices decreased slightly to 44 euros per megawatt hour from 45, sorry, megawatt hour, impacted a little bit by Forex dollar euro difference. And well, on the right hand side, you can see the summary of the key financial KPIs, which we will review in the next slides. So moving to slide 15, total revenue in the first half of 2025 amounted to 438 million, representing an impressive increase of 128% year on year. This growth was largely fueled by the successful M&A transaction through asset rotation in Latin, as you know, which significantly contributed to a plus 149% growth in the development and construction division. Regarding energy revenue, grew plus 33%. Mainly driven by Chilean asset. GR Power division showed an increase of 103% organic growth, and then a small decrease in service division of 8%. The EBITDA for first half 2025 was 86 million, reflecting an impressive growth of 176%, demonstrating our ability to successfully rotate assets while we keep growing our portfolio. Then moving on to slide 15, CapEx. As David said, this is impressive. Last year we had 186 million in the first semester. That was almost the same amount we did in 2023. And in this first half of the year, we are reaching 421 million. That is more than double, and mainly driven by the construction of hybrid project in Chile, proving that the execution is well on track to achieve the business plan we presented in May. As you can see in the chart, almost half of the amount invested belong to Oasis of Atacama, first three phases, already sold. And then another 155 million in hybrid project in Latin. The remaining CapEx is invested mainly in Spain, in the project we are building. An additional 18 million was dedicated to development initiative in our three main geographies. Then in slide 17, cash flow. Well, as of June 2025, our cash position reached 283 million. So we have a solid cash balance position while we are increasing the CapEx, doubling it compared with last year. So CapEx, as you can see, has been the main outflow, 421 million. However, there was some CapEx that we are investing that has been previously agreed to be sold for phase 1, 2, 3 of Oasis of Atacama. Then we have more financial debt, mainly project financing coming from the deals we are successfully closing, and some corporate minor impact in Forex impact of 42 million. So with the current cash position together with the expected project finance that should come, M&A deals already signed such as Tabernas, Jose Cabrera should come in coming months, and the sale of Gabriela, well, we have enough cash to keep self-funding our business plan. Then finally in slide 18, total leverage. Okay, well, net debt stood at 815 million. As a result, reported leverage ratio of net debt EBITDA remained at a level of 3.8 times. And corporate leverage at just 1.3 times. However, considering the deal we have already agreed and pending to have an impact in the cash flow, on pro forma basis, this ratio will drop to 0.2 times, and corporate even positive to minus 0.3 times. So this shows how quickly we can reduce this ratio after good asset rotation we are doing, while we are increasing our pipeline, more opportunities, more projects to come, providing good news every time then. Okay, so that's all from my side. Rocío is going to explain the main messages about ESG.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. I invite you all to follow the details of the progress in sustainability matters during the first semester of 2025. We are immersed in the second phase of the ESG roadmap 24-26, and I am pleased to announce the goals that we have successfully accomplished so far. Regarding both climate change and environmental dimensions, the climate change and biodiversity policies were elaborated and approved by the Board of Directors, consisting of a holistic framework where objectives, key principles, as well as implementation and monitoring mechanisms were established. regarding the governance dimension, the annual sustainability report, according to CCRG, was published earlier this year. Apart from that, I would like to mention an important milestone achieved. A corporate sustainability social management plan was approved by the management board, establishing the guidelines to be followed when any voluntary social or environmental initiative is implemented with the communities near our project. In this context, we are proud to mention that during this year, we invest approximately 200,000 euros so far in vulnerable communities in Chile. Now, moving on to the next slide, regarding our position in ESG ratings, I would like to emphasize the fact that Grenergy consolidated once again its leadership position in the most prestigious ESG ratings. During the second quarter of 2025, some scores were updated, providing us with better results than our peers and also than ourselves last year, which is the case of Sustainalytics that keeps on considering us in its low-risk area, and also S&P, that after having improved the score this year, recognize us as the top 16% global in the electric utility sector, above sector average. Moreover, it's also highly remarkable that this year we were recently listed in the IBEX ESG Index. Additionally, Grenergy got an A- score in CDP 2024 Supplier Engagement Assessment. Last but not least, just mention that some other ratings such as EthiFinance, CDP Climate, and MSCI have not been updated yet, so we will give you further information about them along this year. So that's all from my side. Thank you very much all for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much, Rocío. Now we are moving to the Q&A session. If you have any question, please raise your hand. Okay, first question from Alexandre Roncier, Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for the question. I think what I'm perhaps a little bit puzzled is this morning and some of the conversation with investor regarding the stock reaction is ultimately some expectations perhaps that we would have some announcements regarding tolling agreements today. And I know you guys have been obviously working very hard to accelerate the pipeline, move things into advanced development, but everyone is kind of waiting for those to happen. So I think any color on progress there, I think in some of the mention that you made regarding the pool of PPAs for some of the other hybrid projects before year end, in the market before year end is a long time actually, but I know you guys are working really hard. So any color on that end regarding tolling agreements. If you think any kind of new structure could be struck, if you're already thinking about geographies beyond Spain on standalone, would be super interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexander. Yeah, I was looking at the screen and yes, somebody maybe might be expecting a big announcement but I don't know. I think we are really on track. And for us, once again, it's extremely important to be on track to what we promised concerning CapEx figures, execution, right? And asset rotation, right? That's mostly linked to Oasis de Atacama. Let's not forget that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, but I think out of the 3.5 billion, more than 60 or even 70%, it would be coming from the large Chilean platforms. So we really, really focus executing there, right? And rotating the assets. And I think this is being great news. And we have made these two very important announcements in the last few weeks. And believe me, we will make announcements concerning tolling agreements. We are working very hard, and we have several options, but some of them are very advanced. Unfortunately, sometimes when you have on the other side of the table large utilities or large corporates, they cannot move as fast as we can move, and we only make announcements when we have something really binding, even if we have a term sheet signed. if we don't feel that that's fully binding, we don't announce that to the market. Asking me about other geographies, I think we have already stated that together with Spain, Germany will be the next market. We also have been working for a very long time in negotiations for large tolling agreements. I think before the end of the year, at least one of these announcements will be made in Germany. It could be like a large framework where we could later allocate projects. And we will make the announcement for Oviedo, for Asturias, and also for the first hybrid project in Spain, which will be Escuderos Plan. And as we have explained, we have several possibilities there because we're talking to the current off-taker, which is GALP. They have 7 years remaining of PPA, so and they're interested. They might be interested in converting that, extending that, and converting to a hybrid PPA, or we could close and tolling that will coexist with the current PPA, financial PPA for solar. So that's all. We're working very hard. I'm sure that in our next presentation in November, we will announce something. If not, for sure before the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next question from Fernando García, RBC.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. So I noticed that you are separating Atacama Phase 6 Elena project with the batteries part expected to start 1 quarter earlier and the remaining solar delayed 3 quarters for an asset that you are still in advanced negotiation for the PPA. So it looks like that you are going to operate this asset in probably quasi standalone battery for around 1 year. So I wanted to check here what is the strategy that you have for this asset specifically. And David, let me ask you on your asset rotation strategy. No, after the agreement to sell Elena, as you say, well, you are exceeding your asset rotation targets. No. So I guess you have here two main options for higher gains and have a lower debt at the end of the plan or use this extra proceeds and invest more. So I wanted to check here, and I know that it's just 4 months since the CND, but I would like to check here what and listen your thoughts about it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Fernando. It's true that, okay, in Elena, we could have done two different strategies. We could have waited until the PPA is a very large project, right? Let's keep in mind, it's more than 2 times bigger than any of the previous projects, like Gabriela. So it's like putting together Quillagua, Víctor Jara, and slightly more, right? So if we're talking about big projects, it will not be a single PPA. I mean, there will be a large anchor PPA. That's the way we're approaching that we have been negotiating for very long with a big name. But it will be a basket of several PPAs, and also a retail unit will buy part of the energy. So it's a more complex deal, right? But it will take a few months. And okay, so we spoke to the banks and we say, okay, well, there is the opportunity of executing a fast track with the BESS, because there is a great opportunity if we connect the BESS earlier. We have like a year of upside having the plant connected and benefiting from high prices at night, right? And they offer us this product, like, okay, let's close a project finance. It's instead of a mini perm that normally is 5 years, in this case it's been 3 years. And well, we have a lower leverage level, but still we have borrowed more than 250 million US, which is what we basically needed. And then we have 3 years. We are not going to need 3 years, but to bring in the PPAs and refinance. And at that time, we will build the PV plant. Currently, the prices are very low during the day, or even there is curtailment at north of Chile. But with the introduction of many more batteries, we are expecting those prices to go up also during the day. So I think eventually it's wise to have your generation, you know, your factory of energy next to your battery as early as 2027. So in the long term, we in countries like Chile, we definitely prefer hybrid PV BESS instead of being just a standalone. So that's kind of the strategy for Elena. And I think we can start getting revenues as early as February next year. I mean, the sooner the better, right? There's a big incentive. Only this plan by itself will be close to 100 million EBITDA. Yes, Elena, once it's operational PV BESS. So the sooner it gets connected, you know, every month really counts. About your question, well, after the rotation of Gabriela, it's true that we are getting really on track on the target of rotations, right? Let's see. Yeah, well, there are more projects, there are more rotations to be announced, not as big as Gabriela, but it's true that we might reach this target earlier than expected. And well, next year, eventually, if it's not in February, it will be May, we will give visibility on our targets for 2028, right, as we do every year. So if we have met this financial target of rotation before, there is a possibility that we, if we see the right opportunities, we accelerate CapEx. But as long as we believe is that the other alternative is what you say, okay, we reduce debt and we take a more conservative approach and we keep investing what we said we were investing. But it will depend a lot on how quick we can execute in Greenbox. Let's not remember that the figures for Greenbox are very demanding in CapEx. I mean, and for us, it will be very interesting to diversify in other European markets.
Okay, next question from Anna Webb, UBS. Please, Anna, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, thanks for taking my question. I've got a question on the overall pipeline. I think there was a kind of smallish reduction in the, particularly in the standalone BESS pipeline, and just wondering kind of what the key driver is there. I mean, I know you said that you're keen to take a kind of conservative approach and only have projects in the pipeline you think have a realistic, you know, a real good chance of being realized. But what are the kind of specific challenges you're seeing with some of the projects you're taking out? Or not challenges, but where do you see, what makes you less think those projects are less likely? Is it grid connections, the market outlook, prices? What is it that's driving those projects coming out of the pipeline? Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. It's a very good question indeed. It's because I think the profile of the company is changing a little bit, right? Because we were only a few years ago we were targeting 90% on our own staff, our projects developed greenfield from scratch by us, and I think now that we've moved a lot to the BESS space, and in particular standalone space, time to market is everything, right? So we want to make sure we have the right staff, but even more important, at the right time. And that's something that, you know, we want to be, so whatever we develop, we love to be sure that it's really going to make it, but it's really going to make it at the right time. Because if you know, in PV, I believe we could wait 4, 5, 6 years. Some plants we built in Spain took us more than 6 years to develop. Like a Jura plant, it's been 7 years. I don't think we like that with BESS. So you know, the opportunity is huge and it's great, but the next 3, 4 years, we have visibility in the next 3, 4 years. So what we are doing is we are recycling some of the projects that we don't foresee that it will happen. And our buy side, our M&A team is working very hard also to find opportunities to increase. Yes, just an example, our flagship project, Asturias, Oviedo, it's 150. 100 was developed by us, and the 50 extra, that was a neighbor, that had these 50, we put it together with 100 and we made 150. We're doing something similar now for our first large project in Germany. So there will be a lot of buy-side component in our pipeline coming ahead. So and that's been the case also in Chile. You know, some of the largest project now, Elena, as you know, was initially developed and built as a purely PV project by Repsol and Iberdrola. So it's just don't think that what we will be executing is just coming from what we have in our pipeline. Some projects will come from external sources as well.
Okay, next question from Beatriz, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, all. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to have an update on the Central Oasis platform. You discussed about the PPAs that you have more or less negotiated all over there, but wanted to understand a bit more about the realization of the platform. How is that proceeding and the timing about that? Thank you.
Thank you, Beatriz. Let me jump to Central Oasis. I think it's quite simple to explain. Well, we have Central Oasis was born like it is already with the first phases 1 and 2 were 2 projects that are operational, Gran Teno and Tamango, as purely PV projects, right? They were financed slightly more than 2 years ago by BNP and Sogdien, the French bank. And like everywhere else, we believe there's a business case for hybridization. So that's the first mandate, and we have already mandated, right? We don't really make it public, only when we close the financing. But I think after Elena, the next large financing we're working in will be the hybridization of Gran Teno Tamango and Planchón. Planchón is a new plant, but it's next door to Gran Teno. So altogether, these 3 are under a single mandate, and I think it should get close in Q4, before the year ends, right? And then phase 4 will be following, and it's very, very similar. It's farther south. It's a quite a large plant, but in fact, we are starting construction very, very soon. We have already ordered the trafos, and it will have a similar PPA structure, right? Phases 1 to 4, they have PV PPAs that we signed some time ago, right, with a large utility. So let's say that around 40%, between 30 and 40% of revenues are coming from those PPAs, investment grade, just solar. Then we have capacity payments, which is like 25% approximately here, if we are considering four 5 hours of BESS. And then all the night energy will be purchased by our retail unit, which is GR Power, and mostly to serve the energy we need for Codelco and other large PPAs we have. So that's the approach, and Monte Águila, I don't want to call it a copy-paste, but it's very, very similar approach to phases 1 and 3. We have already mandated phases 1 and 3. That's the first closing, Q4, and Monte Águila will follow. We are expecting financial close in Q1, but it doesn't mean we don't start some work of construction. So Sol de Caone is more end of 2026, 2027 project, and we are working in several offtake opportunities. There are many processes now in Chile with mining. There are very important opportunities with data center. We are approaching through our retail unit. I think there are a lot of opportunities for offtake opportunities in Chile, especially in central Chile. I would expect that if we find the right projects and we are analyzing some projects, this platform might grow slightly farther, but that's something that we will inform as soon as we have something in hand.
Next question from Henry Tarr, Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi there, and thanks for taking my questions. I had a couple. So one was just Could you talk a little bit more about the economics of the Green Box BESS projects that you're looking at, and how that will break down, and then sort of what do you see as the main risk for you looking at these sort of tolling agreements? I guess, is it just the physical usage of the batteries, or are there other risks that we should be thinking about? And then sticking on sort of pricing, I guess, looking at the sort of PPA pricing and environment, you know, obviously you're going through the discussions now with further phases of Atacama, et cetera. How is the appetite and how are the sort of pricing and returns that you're seeing on those projects as we sit here today? Thanks.
Thank you. I think I will reply on the issues of Atacama, and I might leave Daniel to reply on the economics of Green Box, right? Because I think you're very familiar. And not, I have to say, every tolling agreement is different, and the revenue stacks from one market to another is slightly different, right? So we might take a different approach, let's say, in Germany from what we might take it in Spain or definitely the UK. But anyway, there are many things in common. I'm sure Daniel can give you more visibility. And about Chile, again, I'm pretty optimistic. We don't expect similar IRRs in central oasis compared to Oasis of Atacama, mainly because the yield of the northern plants is close to 3,000 hours, so it means you have a perfect cycling. And we managed to get some PPAs at the right time, and then CapEx went down quite a lot. I think the CapEx, we might talk in other questions about, we feel that the CapEx of BESS is currently, have kind of reached some bottom at the moment, right? We are not expecting to go up, but we are not expecting to go further down, at least now, in the next couple of months. And I think the CapEx for solar is going slightly higher, 10%, 15% up, yeah? So putting these two things together, we still are getting definitely double digit returns in Central Oasis projects, right? But in the new PPAs in the north, even if the PPA prices will not be in mid 80s like they were at the beginning, even if they're in high 60s, low 70s, CapEx has gone down quite a lot. So we are pretty happy with the returns, right? We will be getting. I leave you, Daniel, with the economics of Greenbox and just some visibility on economics.
Okay, thank you, David. I mean, Henry, the revenue stream for a standalone business model depend on every single market regulated revenue, ancillary services, capacity payment, and the spread day and night. But the reality is that for us, and we try to make it simple, and especially banks are requesting us to make it simple to have it financed. We, as you know, we are gonna try to sign tolling agreements for 8 to 10 years. And remember, bear in mind that for Oasis of Atacama, Central Oasis, as we are doing just one cycle per day, charging, discharging, lifetime of the asset might be 25 years. But if you are doing 1.5 cycles, two cycles, if you're doing two cycle, lifetime will be half of it, so 12 years. So if you are closing in Germany a tolling agreement of, let's say, 8 to 10 years, and starting, you know, first year, normally we like to have it merchant. So starting 1 year after the merchant period while you are connecting in order to avoid any production risk, that means that you are going to have a fixed payment during 90 or even more percent of the lifetime of the battery. And it's going to be really easy to modelize it. We are guiding to more than 12% project IRR in Spain, even capacity payment are not regulated. That is an upside. However, well, whenever we close the tolling agreement, that hopefully is going to be soon, before the year end, we are going to let you know the way to modelize it. But remember, it's a fixed payment. They are operating the battery. We are selling not energy. We are selling the service of that battery to our customer. That might be an utility, prescaler, trading company.
Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Okay. Next question from Flora, CaixaBank. Please, Flora, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. On the CapEx you've just mentioned, I was just wondering if you have had any negotiations post the summer increase in lithium. So the CapEx in BESS, you mentioned that we're probably at a bottom. Can you just explain us how do you see this evolving considering this volatility in lithium prices? And then just manage expectations. To be clear, do you expect to announce anything on tolling agreements in November release? And secondly, do you have any range of potential level of this tolling agreement? Because I think that in some discussions, we do mention some numbers that I'm not sure are within the investor base. So just to manage expectations when this is out. Thank you.
Thank you, Flora. Think about the, I'm not sure if we have made an update on, well, no, I'm trying in this presentation, but it's, you know, lithium prices, they do have obviously an impact on the price of battery packs, right? But that's not, I think that's not higher than 50%, 15%, 1.5. It's you know, even if the price of lithium skyrockets, that I don't think it will happen, right? We have seen some increases. I think even the Chinese government, directly or through CATL or other players, they were shutting down temporarily some mining activity, right? That's not by chance. I mean, they're looking at increasing the price of lithium because it was so depressed, and It's happening, but even if the lithium goes up by 10, 20, 30%, the impact is quite limited on the price of battery packs, let's say between 5 and 10%. There are other factors. It's basically supply and demand that could move the price of batteries higher. And I think EV, electric vehicles are, you know, demand is surging, and that's a factor, finally, and mainly in Europe and China, other regions. Not as quick as they were expected, but we see a lot of oversupply or overcapacity in many factors in China. And also the gains in productivity are quite impressive. Only, I think the day before yesterday, BYD announced their new product that will be a battery of altogether 14 megawatt hours, that putting two containers together. I think CATL is more betting on the two layers. That it will be a product of 12 megawatt hour. Remember, the first batteries only a year and a half ago were batteries of 6 megawatt hours. So it's everything is happening very fast, and you know they're putting more capacity in the same space, and that drives the price down as well. So I see we have seen a sharp decrease in price. I believe the prices will be stable or even could go slightly farther up. But I think we will see a further decline. I think a similar story to what we lived in PV, right? It's a bumpy road. It's been going down, but it's been going up, down again. And look at the same panels, we were paying $3. Now we're paying $0.08, right? Only 15 years later. So I think it's a similar story. And about the tolling agreements, Flora, we are working. You know, the sooner we have a binding agreement, and we are, I think, quite close, we will announce. And I think the first one will be definitely Elena, and we are advancing very well in one of We have three large negotiations in Germany. I think also we might expect that at least one of these will be announced before the end of the year, right? So we will definitely give some visibility, and we'll try to make an effort to explain you guys how the economics works. And again, every tolling will be slightly different, geography by geography and project by project, and we will really make an effort to explain you.
Next question from JB Capital. Ignacio, please go ahead.
Yes, Daniel and the rest of the team, thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one is on the tolling agreement in Spain. Daniel was mentioning that capacity payments in Oviedo would be on top of that 12% project IRR, which I would assume it would be quite a significant upside. I don't know if you could quantify this, and then if you can give us some color on any regulatory developments that we or that you are expecting, you know, in Spain in order for this technology to take off. Okay, and the second question is just related with the evolution of power prices in Chile. No, we saw a decline in the second quarter, I believe mostly related with the PMGDs. So if you can also give us some color on what's the latest situation there, and maybe how are we heading into the second half of the year. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ignacio. Sorry, your second question about Chile, were you asking about PMGDs in particular? Or?
No, the prices. Sorry, maybe. If you want, I can jump on it.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, sure.
There has been an effect on Chilean prices, both because, first of all, we have a more diversified solar PV matrix, so that portfolio, that means that PMGDs that in the past were more important, now it's not as important as it was before, and you know that PMGD, they have a very pretty high price of around $65-$70. So on average now, with more projects selling energy output price or PPA, that means lower on average price in Chile. Okay,
and I guess the effects, yeah, Daniel.
Exactly. So and then you know we have agreements in dollar. Our accountancy is in euro. Our investments are in dollar, but the accountancy currency we have is euro. So there has been an impact of forex exchange.
Okay, and thank you. And about the tolling again agreements, the capacity market. Yeah, I think some of the large utilities in particular are you know saying that there's no regulation in Spain for BESS, and they're waiting on capacity payments. But I don't think that's a good way of approaching, in my opinion. The guidance we've given on IRR is completely excluding any capacity payments. I think finally we will see that mechanism published in the next few weeks. At least I don't know. I think our regulation team is telling me every time I find Anna, our regulation manager, she's telling me that okay, next week. But finally, it seems that we are nearly there, and there will be an option at the end of the year, we believe. But don't expect very great upside coming from capacity market. That's our expectation, right? We'll be lower than many people think. So for us, might be like 10%, maximum 15% upside, right? And that's similar to what we are going to see in other markets, like Italy and Poland, and you know, nothing to do with the auctions two years ago and a year and a half ago for storage, where most of the revenues were coming from capacity payments. But now it's going to be a lot more contenders, and I think the auction, the prices offer will be way lower. So we believe that capacity should account for 10-15% In Chile, in some cases, it's in the north is 15%. And if you know, it's an automatic mechanism, but it's 15%, not 20% maximum in central ISIS. So this is the way we see it.
Okay, thank you very much. There are no more questions. So thank you very much for attending, and see you in a couple of months in our Q3 results presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great week. Bye.
Right.
Goodbye.